Hello again, everybody. Welcome back to our community. It's great to be here with you today. I'm Andy Thornton, President and CEO of the Greater Peoria Family YMCA, and our community is sponsored by I've Decided and the Greater Peoria Family YMCA. Do you ever find yourself struggling to turn your vision and strategies into success? Have you ever considered the benefits of turning your attention to the execution of your strategy as a critical factor to your success? It's been said that strategy is important, but execution is everything. On today's show, we will explore why focusing your execution will help ensure you find success. Hi, Stacy.
Hello.
It's great to have you here today.
It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, anytime. So with me today is Stacy Reed, and Stacy wears many hats.
I do.
And I probably won't name them all, so you feel free to fill in the blanks. But for sure, I know you're the owner and the president of Solid Rock Logistics, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. And the owner and agent for Integrity Plus Financial Solutions.
You got it.
What else are you doing?
That's it. That's it.
That fills your plate?
That fills my plate.
Okay. Well, why don't you tell everybody who Stacy Reed is and what Stacy Reed do? What's Solid Rock Logistics and what's Integrity Financial?
Yeah, all that stuff. All that good stuff. So I've been, as you mentioned, owner agent of Integrity Plus Financial Solutions, doing retirement planning, long-term care, life insurance planning for this year, 24 years.
Oh, wow.
Seems crazy to be thinking that it's that long, but it sneaks up on you. So 24 years I've been doing that. Mm-hmm. And then through COVID, I birthed a company, Solid Rock Logistics, and it started out government contracting being the main, honestly, probably even the only focus.
Yeah.
And but then as I started working with different manufacturers and different companies, that working with the military, I felt like there was a spot for sharing those products locally as well.
Mm.
So there's been some great opportunities to do that as well, and then work with local people as well. And
yep.
I have a lot of relationships with several, you know, businesses and companies doing, having done the Wellmobile for 20 years.
Yeah.
So
I forgot about you doing the Wellmobile. It hasn't been that long, has it?
No. So it kind of, you know, just kind of reconnected some of those relationships. And so I enjoy that as well, because I'm a relational type of person.
Yeah.
So that works out well. So those are my two babies as far as my day job.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of things on the side.
Pretty heavily involved with your church, right?
I am. So
missions?
We do a mission trip every year in November to the Dominican Republic. We've been doing that for 9 years. This will be year 10.
Wow.
Seems crazy for that too.
That's a big commitment.
It is. It's definitely stole a little piece of my heart down there. The Dominican.
I understand.
You keep returning, you build those relationships, and so So that's we do that. We are part of the Alpha program. I sit on the mission leadership team at Northwoods for missions, and serve on the board at Southside Mission, and on the board for our mission partner. Solid Rock International.
So oh, okay.
On that board as well. So
that's
busy.
Great.
I don't sit still very easily.
No, and I know that about you, and I'm not surprised to hear you say that. But you know, the mission thing, I can relate to. A little piece of my family's heart is in Honduras.
We've
3 years now. On trips down there, we're not going to be able to make it down there this year.
Mm.
But that's a place that's become pretty important for our family, and it's through a missions group at a church that we used to be a part of up in Rock Falls, Illinois, actually.
Okay.
So I can relate to that. It's
yes.
It's amazing what those experiences do for us as people and the connections that we make and the desire to go back.
Absolutely.
Right? And
absolutely.
It's funny, and we'll get into the conversation here in a minute, but every time that we've gone, we've taken another child with us. So as they've gotten older, somebody else has gotten to experience it. And the next time we go, it'll be all six of us that go.
Oh my goodness, that's so cool.
But we always go down there with the intent of we're going to go down there, we're going to help these people, we're going to be this blessing, right? And it always
changes the world, right?
You always come back home more blessed than, at least feeling more blessed than 100%. You blessed others. You learn so much through that experience yourself.
Yes. My very first trip, I think it was like 48 hours in, and I'm laying in a twin bed and at the guest house, and I'm thinking, I'm not here to change anything. Mm. I'm not here to...
You're here to be changed.
Yeah. I came home completely feeling like I definitely took more than I, mm-hmm. you know, gave, so...
And that's okay.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the experience.
It is, absolutely.
Okay, so we're here today to talk about the weekly winning word, which is execute, right? Or maybe execution. They're pretty much the same, right? Depending on the tense you want to use. But the definition for execute is to carry out fully or put something completely into effect. So as I was preparing for our conversation today, I was doing a little research on execute because I always like to try to go a little deeper than the article Kim provides us. I mean, it always helps me kind of get my mind in the right place. And I was reading the difference between execution and strategy and trying to separate those two. And one of the articles I read talked about it as kind of a chicken and the egg argument, you know, because it was really trying to evaluate what's more important. Is it the strategy or is it the execution of the strategy? And you can't have one without the other.
Correct.
You got to have them both. So it was this whole chicken and egg dynamic. But so my question for you is what do you think is more important? Is it the strategy or is it the execution of the strategy?
So I'm going to piggyback a little bit and just say, I think it is both, because I feel like you're not going to get in your car and go for a drive. Mm-hmm. I mean, without a map, right?
Mm-hmm.
Too far. And so I feel like the strategy, if you're going to think outside the box and you're trying to, you know, hit something, mm-hmm. a mile marker, you're going to hit a goal. You know, you really want to hit something outside of the norm.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to probably just start executing without figuring out where it is that you're trying to get.
Yeah.
So I feel like
you got to have the destination in mind,
yeah,
right? The vision. You
got to
have that initially.
Even if it's, I'm just going to go, I'm going to drive out west. Well, you know, you're going out west. You know, you have some sort of direction,
mm-hmm.
even if it's like you haven't mapped the whole thing out because you're just going to.
Not everybody would go west, though, if they just.
Correct. Correct.
Not everybody knows where west is.
I know. Yeah.
I live with a person like that.
I wouldn't know which way west was. Do I turn right or left out of the drive? But no, I would say both. I really do. I do feel like you need to have a little kind of goal set and
sure.
some idea. Mm-hmm. How would you know what to pack? Are you going warm or cold? Or,
right.
You know, so.
No, I think you make a valid point. You got to have at least the big idea, right? You got to have the vision. And to me, that's what the strategy is it's the vision, it's the destination, however you want to phrase it. But when I think about, if I'm trying to weigh the importance of one or the other, doesn't matter how great the idea is, if I don't do something about it, mm-hmm. there's no point in even having the idea.
Absolutely.
Because nothing's going to happen.
Absolutely.
So I would weigh the execution probably a little bit more importantly, but you can't have that without the strategy or, you know, what are you trying to achieve? That's the question. So for me, execution is kind of where the action takes place.
Agree.
Right? Completely. And I think that's valuable. And I think when we're in that action mindset and we're trying to do something that is productive for achieving a goal, that's where we grow the most.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the old saying, anything worth doing is going to be hard, right? Or something like that. I probably didn't say that the right way.
No, I would agree. I would agree that the execution part of things, I mean, that's where you're going to have to challenge yourself. That's where you're going to have to be accountable. That's where you're going to have your fears tested and mm-hmm. And your strength tested,
yeah.
You know, all those kind of things. So. But you're going to have to figure out what that's going to look like in order to hit this goal or in order
right.
to make that happen.
Right.
What's that going to look like?
Yeah,
so.
No, I think it's important. And like I said, that you can't have one without the other. They're both
right.
important. It comes down to maybe a personal preference or just
maybe what you're a little better at sometimes. But sometimes,
true.
You know, there's you know, people that are really good at strategy and harder to execute. Mm-hmm. And some people are a little better at executing.
But if you're in a, working in an environment like you, where you're it,
yes,
you got to do both.
You do.
Right? Or you got to bring people in that are going to help you do the execution, right? And I think that's somewhat maybe how some of your business works too, is you rely on others. It's not just you doing all
for
of
sure.
it.
For sure. But,
all right. So Kim wrote an article about execution, and she framed it around four reasons why execution is most important. Those are my words, not Kim's, but summarizing them. So let's talk about those four reasons a little bit. And the first one is the first reason why execution is the most important thing when it comes to achieving success is it cultivates resilience. You read the article.
I did.
What do you think about that?
So I highlighted some things, and so one of the things she mentions is execution involves navigating obstacles and adapting
yep.
to unexpected circumstances.
Right.
And I think that that is so true. And the fact that I think as you get going, you realize some of the things that might trigger or trip you up, you know, some of the things like she mentions the obstacles. Sometimes I think adapting to unexpected circumstances, even like, there's times where I might set something and then realize partway that I need to adjust.
Right.
It could even be, I wrote down one of the examples is the month of April, I said, I'm not eating sweets, and I'm an iced tea drinker, so I'm not even drinking iced tea. I'm going to make myself drink water. And
you drink iced tea without sugar.
I know. It,
it's
and it really,
but you could drink it.
It was more of just the needing to drink water,
yeah.
and I would just live off of iced tea if I could.
Well, tea's made out of water.
Agree. But there's all these things
yeah.
like, but I, as I started going, I started realizing like, okay, I'm saying no to a brownie that's like 265 calories, but I've got a plate full of carbs, right? Like I'm realizing as I'm eating, as I'm paying attention to my sugar intake, how many carbs I eat.
Right. Okay.
I'm a carb junkie.
Yeah.
So I like midstream thought, I need to adjust this.
Gotta make a change.
I'm 2 weeks in. I told myself the whole month of April I was not doing it this way, or I was going to do it this way. But I did. I had to adjust and say, this doesn't make sense. I need to, because I'm just going to live off of carbs. And I'd be okay with that.
Right.
I'm not going to miss that because I'm filling it with something else. And
but it's probably not going to make you feel better.
No,
right?
No. And probably even worse. I mean, yeah. I'm saying... So anyway, I did. 2 weeks in, I thought I need to make an adjustment. And instead of saying no sweets, I need to say, let's count calories.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? You might say yes to the brownie, but you're going to say yes or no to something else. But as an example. But my point was, is as I started going, I realized I needed to make a little change.
Yeah.
I needed to adapt to something different because
right.
I wasn't answering what I needed it to answer by doing. Right. My idea wasn't quite.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt that, you know, as we go through life, there's always going to be challenges, right? No matter what it is we're trying to do, you name it, we're going to run into some type of an obstacle,
yeah.
Some type of an unexpected circumstance, as Kim put it. It's always going to be there. And I think that I feel like this comes up in every podcast I'm a part of, and maybe it's just because it's always on my mind, but that's okay. We need to expect that. The important thing is what are we going to do about it? How are we going to respond to the obstacle? How are we going to respond to the challenge? You realized in your diet scenario that the decision you made wasn't good enough,
mm-hmm.
right? Is what
right.
I heard you say.
Right.
And just because you made the decision to give up sweets doesn't mean you have to stick to that forever, right?
Correct.
When you have new information, you have a new realization, and now you got to make another change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's extremely important. I think that's what this resilience thing is all about. As we go through that process of overcoming obstacles and working around challenges and, you know, gathering new information and then making a change, that's where the resilience comes in, is because we learn that it's not so hard to adapt.
For sure.
Change is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And so many
absolutely.
People get comfortable with who they are, what they're doing, where they're doing it, that any type of change creates fear, And I think that holds us back with that type of mentality.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So she also talked about rejection as an example. So I have a question for you. Have you ever been rejected?
How many times? No.
Yeah. I can't imagine you have been, Stacey. You're so nice and kind to everybody.
I know, but you know, that only gets you so far. And so there are definitely times you get told no.
Yeah, and how that's exactly, you know, what I think about when you talk about rejection. I mean, in your line of work, I mean, you're selling something. In both of those lines of business that you described, you're selling something. So you probably get turned down quite a bit.
Yeah.
How do you respond to that? How do you work around that? How do you overcome that so it doesn't derail you?
So I really think about if I'm going to set a goal for a quarter, and then I'm going to say this is the breakdown of what that goal needs to do. If, you know, I need to do these functions in order for that to even be met. I'm not expecting all that to be a yes. You know, I'm going into it knowing, and frankly, I'm going into it realizing too, that if they all said yes, I'm in trouble because I probably can't even keep up with what I'm doing.
Right.
If I say I'm going to make 5 calls a day, you know, if that's what it takes to, you know, and you know, in this quarter, that means it's going to be 300 calls. I'm probably hoping maybe not all 300 say yes.
Well, sure.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, you think, no, you do,
right.
But do you? You know, because it's already hard enough to make that commitment and make that a reality. And if they're all saying, yeah, let's do this and let's do that, and then you're doing these things along the way, you're going to start not having the time to call the five more, you know. So you have to set that expectation, understanding that, you know, you're going to have some no's, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, listen, we live in a great big community that I can't be there for everybody as much as I'd love to. And I probably try to. But
so what I'm hearing you say is your mindset is you expect it.
Yeah.
So it's not as big of a shock.
For sure.
For you to have to overcome necessarily, because you're going into it with the understanding that that's the reality of it. And I think that that's important. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
And no matter, like, whether it's rejection or whether it's, you know, some other reason or some other obstacle that comes up that limits our ability to be successful, it shouldn't stop us, because we have to know going into it, no matter what it is we're trying to achieve, whatever goal we've set and whatever execution we put into place, it's not always going to go perfect. Right. And if it did, then we're probably not growing as much as we need to anyway, because we need some of that rejection or.
Yeah, you're probably staying in a safe zone, right?
Yeah, you're probably pushing yourself far enough.
Correct. You need to have a little bit of that.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Yeah.
And I wrote down one of the things I wrote with the rejection is you mentioned the word fear, and that I think those two kind of go together, because when there's a rejection, I think there's a trigger that that sometimes we have that fear of, okay, what if the next X amount of calls go this way, or you know, whatever that looks like, whether you're emailing or whatever that looks like for each person. But I think there is a sense of fear that comes with that rejection, and then you almost feel a little stuck.
Yeah.
You know, like, am I supposed to be doing this? You start questioning, am I doing it right? Am I good enough? Your mind can really go, lots of places. But I
think that's why we have to have the mindset going into it, that it's not going to go the way we lay it out necessarily. There's going to be something that changes the strategy in some form, whether it may just be new information that you gather that forces you into a change, but you got to know that what I'm putting in place today and starting to work on is going to change.
Absolutely.
And you got to be open to change.
If I stayed on a flat track and just walked, you know, I mean, really, how much growth? I mean, there's going to be some, right?
Yeah.
But it's those little inclines that you go, oh, boy, that was killer on the legs, you know, that really make you. And I think that goes along with this. It makes you stronger in the long run to have some of those things happen.
Absolutely. The other thing was, when we're focused on execution, it helps us to build momentum. And I think that's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. And I think the best way to approach building momentum is, you know, when we develop strategies. We just started doing this at the Y over the last year, working with my staff. We just went on a retreat to a camp and started to do some planning. And we started to approach it a little differently this time around, because we've always had goals and strategies, but I've been reading this book called Measure What Matters. It's written by John Doerr. My good friend Matt George turned me on to it. And it really talked about the importance of breaking your strategy down into smaller, manageable goals. And so we've taken that mindset too of focusing on, we know the strategy. The board has set the overarching strategy for the organization. I have goals that I need to achieve as the leader for the organization. And everybody else has to kind of build their goals and strategies based off of
the ultimate.
What's the ultimate goal, right? But we can't just set a goal out for example, one of our strategies at the Y, one of our overarching strategies is we want to become a multi-branch organization that's serving 25,000 people across the Tri-County area. Well, that can't just be the only thing we're focused on, right? We got to break that thing down into right. very small, manageable pieces, and everybody needs to know that their job is, part of their job is working towards that. What are you doing in your job that's going to help us achieve that goal? And so we've gotten to the mindset now where our objectives that's the execution part. Mm-hmm. The objective is the execution part for us. It's 6 months. What are you doing over the next 6 months that are going to move the needle towards that direction? Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk about what's next.
Yes.
We're not going to look too far down the pathway,
right?
Because then I think we get lost.
Yes.
In the work. And I'm hopeful now that we're getting this started that we're going to see some momentum grow or start to happen for everybody in the organization, because now they all know. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to break this thing down into what I like to call bite-sized pieces. Mm-hmm. And then they should be more achievable, and we're measuring them, which we talk about that too. Mm-hmm. Is we got to measure things in order to be successful. So I think momentum is critical, but you can't create momentum if you don't have, if you're not set up for small wins along the way. Mm-hmm. You got to break it down to small enough pieces to where you can get some success.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Over some success that will overcome some of the negativity that comes with that rejection.
And I think too, breaking it down, I like, you know, you mentioned, you know, breaking it down. I think if you, you know, how many people, right, you start off with a New Year's resolution, right?
Yeah.
And you get by March and it's like, I'll forget it. I'll try again next year. I mean, by the first quarter, you're like
right.
throwing in the towel because you've already messed it up.
And a lot of times it's because it's too big of a goal.
Correct.
It's going to take too long
so
to get to.
Yeah. So chop that up. You know, one of the things I've done this year is a quarterlies. You know, just this is the goal for this quarter. This
right.
is the goal for this quarter.
Yep.
And ultimately, I will end at this point. But we're just going to take it a quarter at a time.
Right.
And there's an excitement with that
mm-hmm.
because the next quarter is short. It's a shorter time frame.
Yep.
So the next quarter is coming around the corner and you've got a new fresh start and a fresh goal and you're not carrying that
right.
forward. So,
and if it doesn't work, because they won't all work.
Correct.
You can make a change quicker.
That's absolutely
true. Too, because you're measuring it. It's a shorter time frame that you're focused on it. You're going to see that, oh, you know, this wasn't a great
Yeah.
objective that we put together for whatever reason, and we can make a change.
And if I push too much into that quarter, you know, I've done that myself where I thought, okay, I'll make this my goal for the quarter. And, you know, sometimes that's a bigger bite than I should have chewed in that quarter. So then you know, that you're right. You make the adjustment and move forward, but it allows you a fresh start sooner than mm-hmm. feeling like you got to wait till January 1 to start again.
Yeah. But it starts with the end goal in mind, right? You got to know where you're going. What's
yes.
the destination?
Yes.
And then what am I going to do today that's going to help me get to that?
That's
I'm not going to get there today.
No.
And you got to, and those New Year's resolution things are things that people are trying to get there on day one.
Correct.
I'm going to lose 100 pounds this year, whatever, 50 pounds, whatever it is. And if they don't have, they're not there by January 31st, you're like, screw it, this is too hard.
Yeah.
I'm out. And that's just not realistic or reasonable. And it, I think we do that sometimes in business sometimes too, where we're so focused on the end goal that we don't take the time to worry about what we need to do today to just move the needle.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and you know, all right, well, let's keep moving. The next piece is we want to talk about the opportunities that get created when we focus on execution. And I think that, you know, when we're focused on execution as our, so the smaller goal, we're in the work, we're doing the action, it does create more success for us. And I think it also opens doors for opportunities. And in my example of the why, I'm finding that already. And we're just a month or so into it because we've told everybody what we're doing. And when people know what you're doing, people know where they might be able to help.
Yes.
And I found that in our organization. I mean, we talked about this with all of our staff. We said, hey, this is what we're doing. We need your feedback. And it's already created some positive change where people are like, hey, I remember when you were talking about this. Did you ever think about this connection or whatever? And I think that it does create opportunities for us as we dig in and really focus on
Absolutely. The
work in smaller pieces.
I would absolutely agree with that. There have been opportunities and things that have happened because you've reached out to one person. We've made that not just a connection, not just the opportunity that was at hand, but now you're building a relationship with that person. And that person is now engaged because now you've had that conversation. They're like, oh, This is what you're doing. You know, this is how it not only fits me, but I feel like it would be a really good fit over here as well. And I know these people and I know whatever that looks like, but I feel like it deepens because you're now, there's relationships that grow and build through, you know, what you think was just a phone call or a simple task. And that becomes, you know, a little bit more.
Yeah. And I think that's another part of, you know, the goal setting piece is you need to spend some time thinking about where are there potential partnerships that can be created or who do I know that might be able to help me achieve this. And I need to make sure that they know that I'm working on this because they might be able to help. And when you do that, it works every time, at least it has. When people know what you're focused on, there's always some benefit to that. Mm-hmm. If you're just doing it by yourself,
yes,
in a bubble, you're going to really struggle because we need the support of our friends,
yes,
and our community to help move us forward.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. I think it's extremely important. And I think sometimes we get so focused on the goal, we forget about who's with us or who could potentially be with us.
Yeah.
And that's important. And as we do, and as we lean into those opportunities, then new goals and new strategies become a part of it. So it's all part of the evolution, I think.
Yeah.
And then the last piece was around the importance of when we're focused on execution, it holds us accountable. And this whole time we've been talking about goal setting. If we don't have goals and if we're not measuring them, we're not holding ourselves accountable. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
So you've heard of Peter Drucker, I'm sure,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Well, he's been given credit of the famous saying of what gets measured gets done. Mm-hmm. And there's no truer saying in the world than that, I don't think, especially when it comes to successful business or successful goal achievement. If you're not measuring it, you're probably not going to achieve it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's critically important. The accountability piece is maybe the most important part of all of this.
Absolutely. This year, one of the things that I, at the beginning of the year, end of last year, however you want to look at it, but I went into the year, I've always been a spreadsheet person. I've always tracked numerous of things. My family even will joke, you know, about Stacy probably has a spreadsheet about this, you know, because that's just me.
Yep.
I get, and I'm sure anybody in business probably, that's your go-to, but I feel like the more, and it takes time to keep them relevant,
sure.
Right? I mean, you have to put the time into a spreadsheet mm-hmm. to make it, you know, if you're tracking something, mm-hmm. the only way that's going to work is if you're putting the time into the spreadsheet.
You got to have a formula, right? Yeah.
And
sure.
But it's also holding you accountable, I mm-hmm. believe, as well. It's helping you to visually see, are you on the mark, are you not?
Yep.
Where, you know, directing where you said you're going to be, you know. So mm-hmm. I do a lot of that as well.
Yeah, I think the more your focus on the measurement piece, mm-hmm. right? So when you set a goal, the goal has to be written in a way that provides accountability. So the goal that I shared about the organization is not an accountable. I mean, that it's hard to measure that in a way that we're going to build success is why we have to break it down. And if we're not tracking our success towards whatever measurement we put in there, especially in that first 6 month window, it's going to be extremely hard for us to ever get to the end. And as you measure it, you know, you're not, we talked about momentum before. I don't think you can build momentum if you're not measuring, mm-hmm. if you're not holding yourself accountable, because you've got no way to show yourself that you're mm-hmm. having success or being mm-hmm. effective. And then as you share that with other people and they know what your goals are, there's even more accountability there too, right? So
yes.
When you speak something into existence and say it in front of other people, then you just kind of put yourself on the line.
You absolutely.
And for me, I like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If I don't say it out loud, I'm probably not going to take it as serious as mm-hmm. what I might if I say it in front of my board.
Right.
Or in front of my staff team
yeah.
or something like that. So that accountability piece is extremely important too.
And I think that it's good for there's a good feeling of ownership to it,
yeah.
right? I mean, there's,
pride,
there's
yeah.
yeah, absolutely. I think that even outside of, you know, maybe you're not a business owner, but you wouldn't believe, you know, I might have a client who comes in and they're ready to retire. And I'll say, okay, you know, so are you looking at wanting to take retirement income, or are you wanting to, you know, save and just kind of keep things growing? What does that look like? You know, what does this look like? And, you know, well, I'm not sure. Do I need income? And I'm like, well, you tell me, you know, like, so, you know, it's like, okay, start back, you know, and a lot of times, you know, they've put in the years and fed into a 401k and they're not really sure what that budget looks like. I've never had a budget. I've never looked at what I need to have.
What am I going to need?
Yeah. What is that? What's that number look like? You know, and what is, so sometimes, you know, just going back through and saying, okay, this is how we're going to step through this and figure out, do you need an income? Because I don't live in your shoes to know that answer. So, but we need to make sure that we set
right,
you
but
up
you know how
success.
To ask the question, right?
Yeah.
Help
yeah.
you get to that point.
Yeah.
It's important. We're not going to get anywhere if we're not holding ourselves accountable.
Correct.
That's the way I look at it. I tell my kids that all the time. But, you know, you got to take ownership for what it is that you believe in and what it is that
Absolutely.
You want to do with your life. You know, that can't just be dream.
Correct.
It takes work. It takes
yes.
effort. And you can't be afraid to fail and all those things that we've talked about. So,
pick yourself back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has been
Keep
good.
Going.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
For
Thanks.
Joining.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
And thank you for joining us this
yeah.
time on Our Community. We'll look forward to seeing you at the time.